Today's reading is from Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she is to be nourished for a time, and times, and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from its mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman, and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. Now, when we started the book of Revelation, and I talked a little bit about the purpose of the book and how to view the book, I talked about the fact that the book of Revelation is revealing that there is more going on than the physical world that is around us, that this spiritual battle is occurring, and that God is still active. He's still doing things. Well, chapter 12 starts depicting this spiritual battle that's going on, this battle that's always going to go on until the day of judgment comes. And so when we looked at chapter 10 and we looked at that little scroll that John was told to eat, that was sort of the opening of this section where we begin looking at this spiritual battle that's going on. And what the book of Revelation reveals to us is that the Lamb is victorious. But make no mistake that we do have an adversary that is going to do everything that he can to oppose not just Christ himself, but the gospel and all those that follow it. And so this is a very bitter struggle that is being depicted starting in chapter 12. We're also entering a section of Revelation that is going to get more difficult to try to point to things and say, this is what this represents and this is what this means. I think we need to keep that overall view in mind of this being that spiritual battle and realize the overall message of the Lamb being victorious. That's the thing that we really need to take away from it, rather than trying to figure out what every small item might mean. So I just caution you to be careful with your curiosity there. It's a curiosity that is common to us all, but it can get us in a bit of trouble. Regarding this woman that is engaging in childbirth, some people think that, you know, it was representative of the Jewish nation. Some people thought that it was Mary, the mother of Jesus. However, I think that Scripture would point toward it being just the spiritual remnant of God's people that have kept his covenant with him. For example, in Micah chapter 4 and verse 10, It says, "Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shall you go forth out of the city, and shall dwell in the field, and shall come even unto Babylon. There you will be rescued, and there will God redeem thee from the land of your enemies." So Micah would point toward a more generalized view rather than being more specific, such as being the mother of Jesus. I think we can also recognize that throughout this chapter, as it talks about the child being rescued by God and then her being rescued by God and his power and even creation that participates in that, that it must be speaking of one who is faithful. Maybe that's obvious, but just wanted to put that in there. I think also Isaiah chapter 66 might lend a little bit toward this direction of it being this spiritual remnant. And you might want to go over there and look specifically in the beginning part of that chapter. I would also point out verse 17, the last verse in this chapter, points to the fact that her children were those that were the faithful, those that would hold the testimony of Jesus. So we are talking about those that would be God's people. And that goes back to that overall view, that spiritual battle between God and Satan, good and evil, and Satan waging war in this realm on those that would follow God's will, those that would be God's people. And that struggle will always go until everything is concluded, the end of time has come, and Satan and his angels are thrown into the lake of fire along with those that are condemned by God. I think that it's clearly pointing to the dragon being Satan himself, and the dragon describes Satan's nature, a devourer, and something that has actual power. He does have the power to do things. And really the whole idea of this red coloring and everything that points to bloodshed. John chapter 8 and verse 44, Satan is characterized as a murderer from the beginning. There's blood on his hands, and so that red color comes into mind. His seven heads talk about the fullness of intelligence, some craftiness, some cunning. And of course, he uses lying and deceit, as Paul makes mention in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The horns symbolize power within the realm that he is able to operate. And so we're talking about a diabolical power, an evil power. Any intelligence that he has is used to feed that desire for the death of others, that bloodshed, that red color. Again, in verse 4, we have an instance in which that figure of a third being put into use, and I've never been sure exactly why one third was significant, but here one third of the stars are dragged or knocked down, casting them to the earth. The reference to the child of this woman being caught up, I don't know that we should take that as necessarily protection, but it says caught up to God and to his throne. I think we're talking about caught up to rule on that throne. And then the woman is the woman flees into the wilderness, and then there was a place that was prepared by God where she was nourished. There's some reference to Psalm chapter 2 when he talks about breaking with a rod of iron, dashing them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Rules in the spiritual kingdom with the scepter of righteousness, Psalm 45, as well as Hebrews chapter 1. So power and authority obviously being represented there. So when the woman goes into the wilderness and there's a place prepared, we're probably talking about the church itself or the kingdom running from Satan, looking for safety. Again, these are difficult things to try to point toward and say exactly that this change has occurred from talking about the spiritual remnant, except that they would be part of those that would accept the Christ, and so then they would become part of the kingdom. So I can see the transition, but I wouldn't argue with anyone about the meaning there. Verse 7 starts talking about this war, Michael and his angels going to war with the dragon, and the dragon being cast down along with those that followed him. So this spiritual conflict has been going on for all time, for all of creation. And make no mistake about who is the more powerful, God or Satan. God is the more powerful and has power over him to cast him down. The reason this is mentioned, though, is that overall view that this spiritual war is going on. And so this is intended to teach a spiritual truth. I'm a little bit cautious about saying that this is describing an event that did happen, because we're talking about a vision in which we have symbols and representations, and we're trying to communicate some spiritual truths. So try not to go too far in trying to say that this is an actual event that occurred. But we can see the work of Satan contained all the way through the Bible, all the way from the temptation of Eve and then Adam. And even in that situation, we see the cunning of Satan. We see the bloodshed that would come, the spiritual bloodshed by tempting to sin. And we see the power of God and the reference to that eternal struggle that was going to continue to occur until the day of judgment. Verse 10 introduces us to the fact that the Christ is more powerful, that he has the authority and the power to rescue those that are in the kingdom. Verse 11, referencing the blood of Jesus, you know, they overcame because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their life even to death. So the blood of Jesus, their faithfulness to the covenant they enter into with God because of that blood, and the fact that they valued their spiritual salvation more than even their lives. Verse 13 takes us back to the woman and talks about the persecution of her and the kingdom. Some versions do use the word persecution instead of pursued, as I read from the English Standard Version, and persecution is probably a good word to use there. Verse 14, we see the power of God used in order to rescue the woman. Verse 15, the serpent sends out this water out of his mouth. Again, we're talking about a vision. And thinking that she'd be carried away by the stream or destroyed by the stream. But the earth helps the woman in verse 16, swallowing up the river and rescuing her. Verse 17, the dragon is infuriated by all of this. He's been cast down. He pursues the woman, the kingdom. He's unable to destroy the kingdom. He's unable to destroy the church. And so he commences making war on her seed, which is, you know, the faithful, those that continue to be faithful from then until now, from the first century until now. So he couldn't oppose Christ. He can't destroy the church. And so he's just going to do everything he can to make life terrible for everybody that does follow Christ. And that concludes chapter 12 for us. Thank you for listening. Please come back for chapter 13, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.